Well, Megan, I'm glad to see you. I'm sorry to hear about your wallet and money, and that stinks. Glad you brought your neighbors and your friends. That's awesome. And thank you for your story, Em. I like knock-knock jokes. They're good. Mary, thanks for getting us started off right. And Kathy, thank you for putting together the worship portion. Interesting how the Lord kind of fits things together. He's good at that. So it's good to see you all. What I'm going to be sharing this morning is not new to any of us, probably, but I sensed I was supposed to share it anyway as a reminder. I don't know about you, but I need reminders all the time. I have notes to remind me about my notes, to remind myself of things I need to do. Jesus knows we're forgetful. That's why he has us do certain things on a regular basis, to remember, not forget. Peter in 2 Peter 1:12 says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." Basically saying, don't forget to remember. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the real privilege it is to worship you openly and freely in this land we call United States of America. You have blessed us with this freedom, Lord, when many people have to do it in secret and in hiding and are unsure if they're going to be able to worship to the next service, the next Sunday. What a great blessing. Thank you. Thank you that we have your word, we can open it and read the truth. Spirit, Lord, I confess my great need for you and for you to speak through me. I know your word is anointed. And Lord, take what I share this morning that I felt you put on my heart and make it fit for each person just as they need it. Only you can do that, Spirit, Lord. And so I ask you to do that. And let Jesus receive all the glory this morning. We thank you for Jesus and his shed blood. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're still on the Sense series. And Glenn calls them God stops, or you can call them divine appointments. You can call them what you will, but he has them for us. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, he met with his disciples, and he said to them in Matthew 28:18-20, he said this: "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And then he says something similar in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I like that, every creature. There's a lot of creatures out there, aren't there? These two scriptures are talking about what?
The Great Commission.
Right, we call it the Great Commission. He was telling his disciples to go. Yet, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, just before he ascends to heaven, he tells them to wait. Sometimes you think he's fickle. He said, go, but wait. What was he telling them to wait for? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. It wasn't for a what, but as much as a person. Specifically, they were to wait for what Jesus himself called the promise of the Father, which is not just the Holy Spirit, but particularly the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit would come upon his disciples and empower them to be the witness he was asking them to be. And he says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus knew that his disciples, to be his witnesses, would need the presence, the power, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it hasn't changed. Same is true for us as it was for them. We too need the Holy Spirit's power upon us, his wisdom and his guidance, to be effective witnesses in our day in which we live. So, we know from Scripture the disciples waited. Jesus didn't tell them how long it would be, did he? 10 days. They were in it for the long haul. They didn't know when it would happen, but they waited 10 days, and then it happened. Acts chapter 2. So we're going to have that read to us now. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So if you have that, you can open to that and listen as we hear what God was doing.
Acts 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
So you get the picture of what's happening here. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They actually saw these like flames of fire on top of their heads, and they started speaking in these languages that they hadn't learned, all the things about explaining, giving glory to God in these foreign languages. And these people are like, how do we hear that they're exclaiming God's goodness in all these languages when they're all from Galilee? And so everybody was perplexed. In the next verse, it says, in verse 13, it says, "Oh, they're full of wine." They're drunk. No. And then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, gets up and explains what just happened. He says, "This is the Holy Spirit that God promised has come upon us." And he preaches to them, filled with the Spirit. And the results were what? 3,000. Received Jesus as Lord, and they baptized 3,000 people. I mean, we're going to do one, I believe, next Sunday. But 3,000. Wow. That must have, I don't know how long that would have taken. But it's amazing, isn't it? What results? Because they waited and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and Peter was doing as the Spirit directed him to do. And he was bringing these scriptures to his remembrance. I don't know if Peter had these things memorized or what, but I don't think he had some scroll he opened up and read or something, you know. But the Holy Spirit gave him these things, brought these to his remembrance, and he says, all these things came to pass in the latter days, and he was explaining all about the Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament, and the Spirit was working in the people's hearts and touching them, and 3,000 came to the Lord. Amazing. I know today we say, well, it'd be really great if we could see something like that again. Well, yeah, no kidding. But people say, oh, that was Peter. He was one of the 12 disciples. You know, he was special. And what do you think?
I think we're all special.
Yeah, exactly right. We're all special. So I thought we'd take a look at somebody else who wasn't quite so special. His name was Philip. Philip was a deacon in the early church, which means he helped to distribute food to the widows that were in need. He was just a servant, serving widows. And however, one of the prerequisites of being a deacon, according to Acts chapter 6, verse 3, was to be full of the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting because it means, if it's a prerequisite to be a deacon, to be full of the Holy Spirit, means there's some Christians that were not. If everybody is, why would you need a prerequisite of everybody? Well, something to think on. So let's read about Philip now, this deacon, this man who's just serving the widows food. So we're going to read Acts chapter 8, verses 2 to 8. So you can turn there, Acts chapter 8, verses 2 to 8. And we're looking at Philip.
And buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shriek, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytic and crippled were healed. So there was great joy in all that city.
Okay. What do you think? I mean, we read it, but just think about Philip going down to the city and preaching Christ, and all of a sudden, miracles start breaking out. People are healed. The paralyzed and lame are made well. And people that had demons, they're being cast out. And all these people are receiving the Lord. We call this revival. A real revival. It wasn't just a series of meetings. Not that they're bad, but this is a real God-like revival. And the result, in Acts 8:8, there was great joy in that city. No kidding. Awesome. Both men and women were baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, Jesus was given glory, right? And yes, this was a fulfillment of Mark 16, where it says the Lord would be working through the Holy Spirit, confirming his words with accompanying signs. That's a promise he gives us, that the Holy Spirit will confirm the word that we speak, the word of God that we preach, with accompanying signs. And that's exactly what was going on here in Samaria with Philip. But that's not the end of the story for Philip. It's interesting. We're going to go to Acts 8:26, and you're going to see in the middle of this great revival going on that the Lord is going to ask him to go sit on this road in the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is a full-blown revival, and in the middle of it, God does something really unexpected. You ask them to go sit in this desert middle. No explanation. Just do it. Sometimes the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, asks us to do unusual and unexpected and strange things to our ears. Things that we really don't understand why he wants us to do. The question is, will you do it anyway? That's a good question. That's something I want you to wrestle with. Will you do it? Even if you don't understand the why behind what he's asking you to do. Now we're going to read the rest of the story, Acts 8, 27 to 40. So go ahead, whoever has that last one.
To Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you, Mary. Wow, huh? Aren't you glad we serve a God that does amazing things, right? But you know what? He's chosen to do it through us. That's what he's chosen to do. He wants to work in and through us. And Philip was available. When he was asked to go sit on this road in the middle of nowhere in the desert, he just did it. All of a sudden, this chariot came by. And I think it's interesting because it says that the Spirit says to him, go to the chariot and overtake it. And the next verse, it says, Philip got up and ran. He didn't mess around. I mean, when the Spirit said, do it, pew, he was there, he did it. And I think it's interesting in verse 39, just as there was great joy in Samaria from the revival that had taken place, it says that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. There's always rejoicing when people come to know the Lord. Amen. And his goodness. It's amazing. And then verse 40, all of a sudden Philip disappears and ends up 20 miles in some other town, zoop, like that. I don't know. That was before Star Trek even came out. So, I mean, I don't know how he got there, but he got there. The Holy Spirit can do what he wants to do. I mean, that's a verse you can kick around sometime a little bit with, but amazing stuff. A couple years back, I was given a book from Bill Johnson, my friend Bill Johnson, written by a different Bill Johnson. And in his book, pastor and author Bill Johnson says this, if we understand all that's going on in our lives, then we're living an inferior Christian life. Let me read that again. If you understand all that's going on in your lives, then you're living an inferior Christian life. We call our walk in this world a walk of faith because at times we're going to be asked to do something and to obey when we fully don't understand why. And what Bill Johnson is saying, and what I believe is true, that we should not restrict God's purposes and plans in our lives simply because we don't fully understand the why. To question is healthy and normal, but to demand to fully understand before you're obedient to his direction is not. To fully understand the why is okay. To not fully understand the why is okay, but to restrict God and the leading of the Holy Spirit because you don't understand is not okay. And that's what was happening here with Philip. I mean, he probably didn't really get why he wanted him to go sit in the desert, but he trusted what he was hearing and did it. And look at the results. Why? Because sometimes God does things that seem illogical. He will ask you to do something that doesn't make a lot of sense. How about Ananias in the Bible? He was asked to go to Saul. Really? This guy's locking up Christians and hauling them off to jail, and some are being stoned. I mean, really? You want me to go to him? Yeah, he did. Didn't make much sense to him, but he went. You know, God doesn't change. He says, I change not. It means I don't change. He still is doing and wants to do things in our lives. And not everything he's going to be asking us to do will make sense. So my question is, does anyone here have a story you'd like to share where God asked you to do something like this? I know this is just spur of the moment here, but is there a story that you can share where the Holy Spirit had you do something that didn't make a lot of sense and you just did it anyway, and look what happened? Is there somebody here that would like to share such a story? You know, we should have them. I know you do have them. Question is, are you asking to share one this morning? And there'll be a knowing, I believe. When the Lord is working, there'll be a knowing, a conviction in your heart that this is something you're supposed to do. Same with me. I didn't even think of this story, but I mean, I was driving my truck and a guy was hitchhiking. I don't pick up hitchhikers, I just don't. And I felt the Lord said, this guy wasn't even hitchhiking. I should give him a ride. And I turned around, went back, and said, you want a ride? At any rate, to make a long story short, basically, I picked him up, and he was heading somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, leaving his family and stuff, and I ended up taking him back to where he lived in Lebanon. And he was reconsidering his leaving. It's like, you know, you just don't know with the Lord. I know a story, and I believe it's a true story, where this man was driving down the road, and the Lord's, through the Holy Spirit, said, take this exit. And he's like, well, that's not where I'm going. He says, I want you to take this exit. So he took the exit. He says, you see the convenience store? Go buy a gallon of milk. What? I don't need milk. And so he picks up the milk. He directs him through town, down this alley, stop here. Go to that door, give him the milk. Knocks on the door, hears these Hispanic people speaking inside. He said, I'm not even going to know the language. This gruff man comes to the door. What do you want? Blah, 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 blah. This is for you. Gallon of milk. And this woman comes up crying. She'd just been asking the Lord for milk because her baby didn't have any milk and she had no money and they had nothing. And I mean, would you be willing to, I mean, are you in tune enough to be able to take that exit and buy the milk and go to the door? I mean, things happen like that all the time if we're sensitive enough. I think he wants them to happen more regularly with us. It'll maybe be an interruption to your day, to your schedule, to my schedule. I got several stories I could share. One was a woman. I was coming back from, had to take this artwork into Lancaster, and I had a tight time schedule to get back to Hemfield, and so I was still working at school. And I thought, oh my goodness, am I going to make it back in time for my next class? Because you cannot be late for class when you have a room full of kids and there's no supervision, it's trouble. So I was going to Lancaster and coming back, and I was going to barely make it, you know. And I was right at the intersection at Church Street, right near the school, and there's this woman in the intersection, and the Holy Spirit said very clearly, pick her up. Like, no way. I don't have time. And I drove by her. I mean, I did. I said, no way. I told him, no way. I drove by him, went over to my parking spot in the parking lot, and he said, and you will go back and pick her up. I don't know how you hear his voice like that, but I did. I mean, this is insistent. I get in my truck. I back up. I go over. I stop. She was just made it across the street. I didn't know what her issue was. I said, can I help you? She said, yes. Here she had a baby in her arms. And she was explaining she just had a C-section and she missed her bus and she was trying to get back home and she was at wit's end and couldn't hardly take another step. So I help her into my truck. She lived just down the road from the high school there. Before you even get to the railroad tracks on Stanley Avenue, she was right there. And she saw some of the things I had in my truck, and I had devotional stuff, and my Bible was there, and some different stuff. She says, you're a Christian. Yeah. She says, I haven't been to church in a while. I said, hey, God still loves you. I said, what's the name of your baby? Joshua. I said, oh, I have a Caleb. I said, they should get together. And at any rate, I encouraged her a little bit. I said, God's not upset with you. He still loves you, has plans for your life. And I helped her out of the truck, into her front door, into her home, drove back, and when I hit the parking space, the bell rang for the classes to go to the next class. I made it just as the classes were moving. I'm pretty dense sometimes, but at that time, the Holy Spirit was insistent that I do it. Right, exactly, exactly. And so we just need to be sensitive. And sometimes it's not going to be earth-shattering. The other day, just about a week and a half ago, I was riding on White Oak Road on my bike, and I was going on a long ride. I go long rides these days because I'm getting ready for a big trip with the Life Cycles kids. And I was out like 60 miles, and I had about 8 to go of this 60-miler. And here's a woman walking on White Oak Road, kind of limping along in her slippers. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that doesn't look good. And the Lord told me, go back. I'm like, what am I going to do on my bicycle? I mean, you don't know what people are going to think. But at any rate, I turned around and went back. I said, are you okay? I knew she wasn't okay. She was kind of limping along. She says, my feet are killing me. I'm going to this house up here. And I said, I'd give you a ride, but I can't. I said, so I was talking with her, and her feet were, and then I said, can I pray for you? She said, oh, yes, would you? So I just prayed a prayer for her, that she'd be able to walk to this friend's house and that she'd get her help for her feet, that she'd have healing for her feet, and just to let her know God loves her, and that was all. She thanked me, and off I went. You know, I don't know how those things affect people, but they do, in small ways or big ways. So it might be just something little. I know I carry these promises with me in the back of my riding shirt with my phone in a Ziploc, and so if I meet people, I'll give them one. I give one to a guy at a convenience store up in Lebanon near Cedar Crest High School. I was there getting a drink and eating a little bit, and this guy was filling these tanks with his big tanker truck. I started chatting with him, and about how many gallons, 9,000 gallons, I said, that's a lot of money in that truck. Yeah. I mean, that's when gas was over $4 a gallon. You know, it's come down now a little bit, but still worth a lot of money. And so we got talking, and I said, here, I have a promise for me from God. He's like, I said, I don't know what it is. I said, you have to pop it open and see it for yourself. And so he pops it open, said it. And we started talking a little bit about God and about the Lord and some things. And he looked at the promise and said, thank you. And off he went. I mean, we don't know what God has in store. Those little things, those little encounters with people. I heard it said about Teen Central here at this place that we don't necessarily have to change our life forever by things we do or say, but one little encounter with someone could change your trajectory enough that instead of going this way, they start going a little different direction. If they meet somebody else, and it just keeps changing little by little. So the point, if we filter everything through our minds and remove what seems illogical or at least uncomfortable, we're going to be missing out on things that God has planned for us to do. Obviously, we're not supposed to violate anything in His Word or do something illegal, but we should embrace His mysterious ways and how He wants to work in and through us. I mean, what if Mary would have insisted, I need to know how I'm going to be having a baby if I'm a virgin. I need to know that. You've got to explain this to me before I'm going to agree to this, you know? She just said, let it be according to me, according to your word. She didn't understand why, but she's willing to do it. So, are you willing to just go when the Spirit's voice said, run or go? Are you going to run and do it? Philip knew and knew the Spirit's voice and was in tune to that. And he wants the same for us. That small voice, his promptings, these little urges he gives you. You know, the more you suppress it, the less you're going to understand it. And the more you receive it and embrace it, the more you're going to hear it. The more familiar with you are with His voice, the more you're going to hear it again. Just like someone calling you on the cell phone. The first time you talk to them on the phone, you're not going to know who they are. But the more you converse and talk, you're going to learn to know their voice. Same is true with the Spirit. You know, it'd be great. You know, last Sunday, Barry talked about the disciples and they were going fishing after Jesus' resurrection in the Lake of Galilee. And they caught nothing. And Jesus shows up and says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And they got a great catch. These professional fishermen had zilch. And as soon as they did what Jesus said, they caught 153 big fish. I was thinking, wouldn't it be great to just have Jesus right by our side and to hear Him say, yeah, right here, Chuck, throw it in. You're going to get a good catch. be great to hear a voice like that, right? I mean, a physical voice. It's not that way anymore. And Jesus knew it was to our benefit to not be that way anymore, because he could only be one place at one time. And if he was with those guys in the Sea of Galilee, who was with in Jerusalem to hear his voice, right? So Jesus says this in John 16:7. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, capital H, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Well, the good news is Jesus has gone away. He's at the right hand of God in heaven. And he has sent us his Helper, the Holy Spirit. So to finish this morning, I thought we'd look at a way that we can better hear the Spirit's voice. And I think to better understand the Holy Spirit and know that he is a real person, he's not an it. The Bible refers to him as a he. And even though he's a real person, he doesn't have a physical body. He's a spirit. But yet he has a personality. The Bible refers to him, and you can look these up, as saying that he thinks, he knows, he speaks, he can be grieved, he makes decisions, which are always in compliance and agreement with the Son and the Father, and he can be lied to. That's a person we're talking about. Jesus calls him our helper, our comforter, our counselor, and our guide. And I know I've given you the scripture before, but we're going to do it again to remember. Paul, in the end of 2 Corinthians in his letter, finishes with this beautiful benediction. But the benediction is very helpful for us in our walk with the Holy Spirit. It says this, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, work with me here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, does that change at all? Jesus' grace, does that change? Is there something we need to do to earn it? No. It's there. It's for us always. No matter what we do or don't do. How about the second part there? The love of God. Does the love of God change? No. Is it dependent upon us, what we do or don't do? Not at all. It is there. It is constant. Completely. Now, the last part, the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's different. That's dependent upon you, and it's dependent upon me. Communion in the Greek is koinonia, is the Greek word for that, which means communion, fellowship, or intimacy. Ah, interesting, huh? Meaning, the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to have an intimate relationship with you and with me. Now, if I would have come in this morning, and it was Chuck and I setting up, if I would have ignored Chuck the whole time and not talked to him, what would you have thought, Chuck? You would have been kind of put off, probably. What if you, yeah, I'm just saying, any person you're in relationship with, you need to recognize them, greet them, acknowledge them, talk with them, thank them for things when they do things for you. Tell them you appreciate them. If you don't do those things, the relationship is going to be what? Strained at the best, right? If you're not doing those things, it'll be strained. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. I believe often is. Many Christians just don't know. So now you know. Even though you can't see the Holy Spirit, because he's a spirit, we end up sometimes inadvertently neglecting or ignoring him, which grieves and quenches him. And it's no wonder we sometimes have trouble hearing his voice. You understand where I'm going with this? So as with any good relationship, there needs to be dialogue, communications. And especially true with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we're going to be sensitive to hear his voice and do as he directs, we need to know his voice. So, if you've ignored the Holy Spirit just because you didn't know, now you know. Me, it's not as much as me not knowing, it's just sometimes laziness or forgetfulness. It's just, it is. Ask for forgiveness. I would encourage you to, as part of your normal morning routine, I would encourage you to write this down. Say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Does that sound funny? "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I appreciate your presence in my life. Let's together, you and me, bring glory to Jesus. Help me to hear your voice today. Help me not miss those appointments you want me to have, those God stops," as Glenn calls them. You think he'll answer that kind of prayer? I'm telling you. And then as he speaks to you and guides you and blesses you, I know I have my devotions. I'll read the word. I'll say, "Spirit, Lord, you wrote it. You inspired these men to write this. Help me understand this. What are you trying to say here?" That's the kind of relationship I think he wants us to have. And you know, he will. He'll answer those kind of prayers. And then be ready. As you're doing your normal routines, whether it be going to fill the car with gas or going to the grocery store or wherever you're going, tune in, not tune out. And listen for that small voice. And I'm telling you, more and more, he's going to be asking you to do things that are a little unusual or uncomfortable, at least. And it'll be a great adventure that you're going to be on each day with the Holy Spirit. These people that say, "Oh, the Christian life's boring." Let me tell you, you start interacting with the Holy Spirit like this and start asking him, it'll be a great adventure. And that's what the Lord has in store for us in our lives. I had to think of this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, "This is the Great Adventure. Saddle up your horses," right? I love that song. Got a blaze, trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder with God's amazing grace. We're going into the future, into the glorious unknown. This is life like no other. This is the great adventure. That's what he wants for us, folks. And then when there's first Sunday of the month comes around and we have people, does anybody want to share what God is doing this week? Should be hands up everywhere, right? Not to brag. We want to brag on our great God and the great things he's doing. The great thing is he wants us to be part of that for our benefit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you've not left us here as orphans, but you have given us something precious who lives inside of us, your Spirit. Spirit, Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you desire intimacy with us. You desire to speak to us and move in and through us. Help us to tune into your voice more and more. You're not here to make us feel bad because we've ignored you or missed you, or that's not you at all. You don't want to do that. For wherever we've been, Lord, take us to the next place with you, Spirit, Lord. Help us to welcome you. Help us not to ignore you. Help us to hear your voice like never before. Help us to be the Phillips in our day and age, Lord, to just go and do what seems crazy if you're asking us to do it. And we'll see Jesus get glory. I know it. I know it. Oh, Lord. You have such great plans for each and every person here. We each have different circles where we walk, Lord, different people we come in contact with, different places we go. And Lord, if we're just sensitive enough to your still small voice, Spirit, Lord, you will do awesome things. So I pray this week, Father, through your Spirit, we will tune in to you and your voice, and Jesus gets glory. We pray this in his name. Amen.